In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For over 60 years, their father had been a pastor, faithful, well-known, and well-respected by his brothers in the ministry, actively serving congregations up into his 80s. Two of his five children were now pastors, plus two of his many grandchildren. But now, his pastor was the one he needed. That father was dying. All the family was there. The three sons, two daughters, and their spouses, all those grandchildren, and even lots of the great-grandchildren. The room was full. But everyone knew that this would soon be it. Then quietly, their dad asked everyone to step outside, except Pastor. His pastor. Out in the hallway, one of his daughters asked, "What's Dad doing?" "Private confession," one of the pastor's sons answered. "Confession?" she said. "He's been a pastor all his life. What's he got to confess?" The four pastors in the family, almost in chorus, nodded knowingly. Within the hour, their dad was alive with Jesus. It's not just those we would consider great sinners who need to repent. Nor it is just the faithful pastor who perhaps has never embezzled congregational funds or hardly let a foul word slip out of his mouth. Jesus said, "Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." But it may well be the very faithful Christian, even the dear dying pastor who best understands that he is a sinner and most appreciates the comfort of Christ's forgiveness. In our gospel reading today, Jesus would have us all appreciate that more deeply. That we turn toward Jesus, for in Him there is life. Turn toward Jesus, for in Him there is life. Some of the people following Jesus in Luke chapter 13 have been hearing the news from their times, and they ask Him for His commentary on one of the hot stories of the day. Several folks from Jesus' own part of the country, Galileans, have been murdered by Roman governor Pontius Pilate in a terrible way. We don't have further details about this incident from history, but the social tension between Jews and Romans made a revolution possible at any time, and the Romans were pretty good in stopping them with anything they needed. Galileans were especially likely to revolt since they were surrounded geographically by Gentiles. What is clear is that they were killed while in worship. Let's say like a church shooting today. So essentially, the crowd wanted Jesus' opinion. "Jesus, why do bad things happen to good Galileans?" But Jesus turns the tables. He dismisses. He doesn't even address the idea that this was a bad thing happening to good Galileans. It's not even that these Galileans must have been especially bad sinners. No. All Galileans are bad. In need of repentance. And so are you, Jesus says. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Jesus calls not just the greatest sinners, but all of us to repent. Jesus even adds another example. The Tower of Siloam in Jerusalem, falling on 18 people. There is no historical record of this incident either. It must have been another recent news story. But again, no. These 18 people were not specially wicked. They were just like you, in need of repentance. Jesus refuses to lean into a theology of glory by attributing human tragedy to individual sin, as the Jews of his time often did. Rather, Jesus affirms that all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory and are thus in need of repentance. Every human tragedy is a call from God to repent. The world is full of sin. Our good deeds, in any attempt to clean up our own sin, are as filthy rags, as Isaiah tells us. And our rags are soiled beyond any human ability to make them clean again. So Jesus always levels the playing field. He's basically saying, it's just a matter of time before you all suffer the same fate. Death will come to us all. No one gets out alive. Your only hope is repenting in faith. Your only hope is turning away from your sin and turning to me, your Savior. On May 21, 2021, last year, the mother of 6-year-old Aiden Leas was driving him to kindergarten on the 55 freeway in Southern California. After she became angry at being cut off by another car and made her anger visible to the other car, a passenger in the other car fired a gun into her car. And unfortunately, Aiden was killed. Now, no one would suggest Aiden Leas was a worse sinner than countless others on the freeway that morning. As deeply as his mother might regret her own actions, no one would suggest she anymore earned such a tragic loss. And there is no way to get into the mind of God to make sense of why this happened. But God is not to blame. Rebellious mankind is to blame for all matter of random loss of life, both through accidents and from willful wickedness. Every story of tragedy is a call to repentance and a moment in time to cry out to God for redemption as found in His Son Jesus. The wonderful news is that to all those who do repent, Jesus promises life. That's the subtle inference of the parable Jesus tells in verses 6 to 9, the parable of the barren fig tree. For centuries, the people of Israel had been God's chosen people, His fig tree. And God has been expecting fruit of righteousness in keeping with repentance and faith. But instead, Israel had responded to his goodness with sin. Just as every single one of us sins against God daily. So it seems that the time has come to cut them down now. To give us what we all deserve. But the vine dresser, Christ Jesus, he steps forward and pleads patience. Let me do everything I can for them. And if they repent, bear fruit, well, that's what we have always wanted. But if they refuse to repent, then we shall cut them down. The primary point of the parable is to display God's patience in not wanting any person to perish, but to repent and find life in his Son. That's what 2 Peter tells us plainly. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. The Christian life is to be daily repentant. The consequences of our sin affect all people. So now is the time to repent and to live lives which bear fruit. So turn in faith toward Jesus, for in him there is life. Jesus says elsewhere in John chapter 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, the Father takes away. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. But whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Jesus' call to bear fruit is always an invitation to cling to him. Jesus understands all the tragedies and death of our sinful world in ways we never can. He knows that we cannot bear fruit apart from him. That's precisely why Jesus hung on the cross, that we might bear fruit and live, not be cut down and thrown into the fire. Notice also that Jesus says in John 15 that we are already clean right now. That's because we each are connected to him through baptismal waters, just like little Cole was connected to his vine Jesus this morning. And so we are all enabled to bear much fruit. Jesus teaches that repentance unto life bears fruit. In turning to Jesus for new life, we are called to lead lives that produce the fruit that's really made by the power of the Holy Spirit. As Galatians 5 tells us, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is the kind of life you live. And I have seen and heard many examples of you displaying the fruit of the Spirit for your families, for your friends, neighbors who are unrepentant and far from God. Your fruit really is the work of Jesus in you. Of course, God doesn't need our good works, but we get to do them. And that's who we are because we are connected to Jesus divine. To bear fruit for our neighbor, that the world may know that the Father sent his Son. And by this new life we have in Jesus, we can even help being this healing spiritual ointment to those who have suffered the mysterious tragedies that result from sin. We can. The movie called The Guys came out just a year after 9/11. It tells a story of a New York fire department captain asking a journalist to help write eulogies for the 8 men his unit lost in the attack. One of the heroes was named Patrick, a guy everybody looked up to and wanted to follow. And he had just casually chosen to work that morning shift rather than the evening that he was scheduled. His eulogy noted how others at the firehouse described him: work, church, and home. We who have life in Jesus, who are no greater sinners and no lesser sinners than anyone else, will suffer death and tragedy as surely and as often as everyone else. But we can use our lives in Jesus to witness God's inexplicable love to others in their tragedies. The tragedy of our gospel reading today is that Jesus' hearers were pridefully trying to position themselves as better than those who lost their lives in random ways. We are called to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Yet even the good fruit we bear is not enough to make us righteous before God. The faithful pastor on his deathbed, the seemingly innocent child, the grieving mother, the brave hero, all need to repent. We are all sinners, deserving only to be cut down. But Jesus is the tree that was cut down by his Father on that Roman cross in our place, unjustly condemned by Pilate. Jesus is the tree that the Father victoriously raised 3 days later to invite us to be grafted into that holy tree. Our repentance is only possible because of our redemption accomplished by the crucified and risen Jesus. So, turn in faith toward Jesus, for in him there is life. In him there is life. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.